The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey guys, I'm sure you all remember my story from last year's San Diego Comic-Con where I had the opportunity to go to the Death Saves clothing release party, effectively as a guest of one Chris Prynoski, who is the founder of Titmouse Animation. They've made basically every amazing cartoon that you can think of, not the least of which is one of my favorite cartoons of all time, Metalocalypse. So what we have for you today is an interview with Chris on his RV tour around San Diego Comic-Con. We talk about Metalocalypse. We talk about Big Mouth. We talk about John Schnepp and his untimely passing. And there is a little special tease, not even like a tease, but like a little special guest in there that I think you guys will be really excited about. So enjoy. Let me know what you think. Let us know what you think. Enjoy the interview with Chris Prynoski of Titmouse.
Kids, she brought another mom and another kid. They all play at the RV park.
That's awesome.
We drive on the RV, get drunk, but then I can play with the kid in the morning. It's perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We've got beer and booze and ice cream in the freezer. And I gotta say, because we have a picture of John Schnepp, who's was a good friend of mine. He passed away 1 year ago today.
Yep.
He's my good friend. He was a director with us for years on Metalocalypse and other projects. And So that's a tribute to him right there.
That's awesome. And very appropriately duct taped to the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you don't want that thing falling down.
Man, yeah. So Titmouse, legendary cartoon company. Like,
right,
you guys
Thank you.
My favorite cartoons that are on television, specifically Metalocalypse.
Right on.
Absolutely my jam. But we got to know, what kind of stuff are you guys coming out with that's coming
out? Oh, man. Well, you know what's a crazy thing, right? You see this guy who just walked onto the RV?
Oh, hey,
we're making a cartoon with that guy.
We are making a
Sam
cartoon.
Sam Riegel, you may know him as an Emmy award-winning...
That's true.
...voice director for cartoons.
That's true.
And he's directed many cartoons for us. How many cartoons? Three or four cartoons?
For you, at least three or four cartoon series.
What cartoons are you directing right now?
Right now I'm directing DuckTales. Yeah. Just came from the DuckTales panel. Got my free hat. Elaine of Avalor and DC Superhero Girls and Kid Cosmic for Netflix.
Right,
but we're starting up a
new thing.
Yeah, right, this with Titmouse.
Together is Sam's one of the founders and actors, streamers. What do you even call
players?
Your profession? Players. In a D&D group called Critical Role.
Right.
And we're making their new cartoon.
Yeah,
we
did an amazing Kickstarter. It was a record-breaking Kickstarter. Raised all this money, and now we get to make a cartoon series based on our Dungeons & Dragons game.
Yeah.
And we, Chris P. is a D&D nerd, hardcore.
I don't know if you
know that
about
me.
That's how we met.
Yeah, there you go.
So it made perfect sense for us to partner up with Titmouse and make this cartoon together. So that's what we're going to do.
Oh, by the way, after this, we're going to hit the Death Saves Joe's thing, if you want to pop by that. Yeah, yeah. Head
on. So here's the thing. Like, a lot of the cartoons that you make fit these, like, niche audiences, like Metalocalypse with Metal, Critical Role with Dungeons & Dragons and stuff.
Yeah.
Do your, like, personal loves, you know, for gaming and, like, you know, nerd culture, do they kind of drive the things that you do with your company?
Yeah, I think, you know, Critical Role, obviously Dungeons & Dragons. Even Tigtone is a show we do for Adult Swim, another, like, Dungeons & Dragons type show. You know, Metalocalypse was metal and brutality. Big Mouth, I don't know, masturbating. That's another thing I love to do.
All your interests.
Yeah.
So Big Mouth was like wildly successful. Like on
Yeah,
on
it's
Netflix.
Doing really well, yeah.
I had this amazing moment, like, because my kids are, my three oldest kids are 13 to, like, 17.
Yeah.
And my son comes up to me and goes, "Dad, you got to watch this Big Mouth show." He's like, "It's really, really cool." I was like, okay, I had no idea what it was about, didn't really know, watched like the first four episodes, and for like about 5 minutes, I was fucking mortified that my son was watching it. And then it occurred to me that like it deals with kids his age,
dude,
dealing
crazy
with the shit that I dealt with. Was that kind of like intentional in the writing?
Yes and no. I don't think we anticipated that it was going to be used as a teaching tool for parents. We've heard so many stories of parents with like kids going through puberty, like 13-year-old kids, like parents watching it with their kids, which is never something we anticipated. But it was really, you know, and I was more on the outskirts. I wasn't in the writing room on that, but I remember in the discussions on the visual, you know, we're talking with the creators and we're talking with the supervising director, and we really wanted to make sure that this was presented well and wasn't taken in the wrong context. You know, in the first episode, there's like a close-up of a boy's dick, right? Which, in a live-action show, it just wouldn't even be, like, considered, right?
It wouldn't be legal.
It wouldn't be legal, right? You know? So it's like, you know, it's like, is this going to be, like, taken in a very wrong way? Are we going to be considered, like, a pedophile show or something? But I think the fact that, you know, it's like, Andrew, I knew from Family Guy, and I figured it was going to be a bunch of dick jokes and sex jokes. Nick Kroll, I didn't know before the show, but I knew his sense of humor. So those two, I'm like, I know what we're getting into. It's going to be a bunch of sex jokes if we could do a show like that. Like that, excuse me. Too much beer.
Is there such
But Mark and Jen, two of the other creators, they bring a lot of the heart and character to it. You know, Mark wrote on the Wonder Years for years, and I think they bring that thing that makes it a much more well-rounded, a much more... The writing team is so good and so diverse and so, you know, a lot of female writers, so it just doesn't end up being about, like, 13-year-old boys jacking off. It's also female issues, you know. It's amazing. I really dig how that show's coming out. I went to the first table read, and I'm like, man, this is so good. This is way better than I thought it was going to be. But I'm like, they can't keep this up. And then the second one was even better, and the third one was even better, and this third season is even better than the second season, and it's going to be good.
It's genuinely a show that just keeps getting cooler and like keeps getting more interesting. And like,
yeah, man.
I know not just me, but like a lot of parents that I know do exactly that. You're like,
yeah,
I don't really want to have the sex talk.
Yeah,
sex,
I don't have to
about that.
I
shit.
Don't even have to watch this cartoon.
I'll go get high and watch it with you.
Exactly.
So we got to talk about Metalocalypse, obviously, because it's genuinely one of my favorite cartoons of all time. All
right, so here's the conversation that I get to have that I thought I was never going to have, right? So every time, like, we do a panel, there's, like, a couple of questions that people ask. It's like, why does Venture Brothers take so long between seasons? Like, you know, whatever, how do I get a job? And one of them's always like, hey, when is Metalocalypse ever going to come back? And the answer for the past, like, 4 years is like, nope, you're never going to get more. You're never going to get anything. But now, for in the fall, for the Adult Swim Fest, Death Clock's going to play the Adult Swim Fest. And not that it's episodes, but we're going to be doing new, like, concert video stuff for Metalocalypse. So there will be some new Metalocalypse content to look at if you go to the Adult Swim Fest.
That's awesome.
Fall.
So the thing I really want to know is, obviously, when you went into the show, you knew you wanted to make a show about metal.
Yeah.
You knew you wanted, you know, you knew you guys wanted to have, like, great metal music on it, because it is.
Yeah.
What did it take to, like, assemble a band and, like, convince them, be a band for this cartoon?
Well, it's all Brendan. You know, Brendan, who's one of the creators of the show, Brendan Small, like, he's an incredible musician. He actually went to Berklee School of Music. He's, like, a real deal, like, super shreddy guitar player. So it was, you know, it's basically all him. Like, for the show, he played every instrument, he played every part, sang pretty much every voice except for when Tommy would sing his character's voices. So, like, when it came to do the band, like, the music already existed, right? It's like, whoa, listen to all this awesome music from the show. So he just assembled guys he knew. Like, one guy, Mike Keneally, I think that's his name. Maybe you want to look that up so I don't fuck it up.
It's all right.
He was his guitar teacher at one point.
Cool.
So he got him in the band, and he got Gene Hoagland to play the drums, who's a guy who's been in a bunch. He's in Death and a bunch of these, like, speed metal bands. And he's had
other people play bass, a couple different people play bass, so he basically gets them for the tours and they practice and they go out. But and then the albums, for the show, you know, he plays the guitar, he plays all the string instruments, obviously, but the drums are drum machine for the episodes. Oh, okay. But then for the album, you know, he gets them recorded, you know, they get recorded with real drums, and obviously in the concert they're playing real instruments.
Right. The concert, like, when, so we're from Colorado, so yeah, you know, the closest concert to us was in Denver. Yeah. I remember when Metalocalypse came through, like, I was cruising down the street getting ready to go to the show, and here comes their tour bus with their faces on the side. It was the coolest looking shit, because it's literally like your dream of, am I going to go in here and literally the stadium's going to explode and corpses like come to life? And,
well, fortunately, I didn't die.
The weirdest thing that happened with that show, right? The premise of the show is that these guys are the most famous metal band in the world, right? And then when the first Death album came out, it became the number one selling death metal album of all time. It's like, but the thing from the show became real. It's real now.
That's awesome. That's got to be the most gratifying feeling. Like, we literally imagined our way into reality.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, that can't be true. But I guess it's like, you know, the numbers of death metal aren't as high as, like, whatever, if you're like a pop star. And because it also was Adult Swim comedy fans buying it. So all the death metal people bought it, but also all the, like, Adult Swim comedy fans bought it, so that it broadened out the market, and that's why it was successful, like, because it was classified as, like, death metal.
It's so funny, because, like, the, like, when the first album came out, my friend and I were house painters, and we would just rock out, like, when we were doing interiors, listening to Death Clock, getting stoned on paint, like, and it was great. It was my favorite. Tell me just a little bit about, like, kind of the history of, like, Titmouse and, like, how you guys got started.
Well, you know, I started in New York, and I came up in the, like, I graduated in the mid-90s and worked on Beavis and Butthead and Daria and shows in New York. And I created a show for MTV that only went one season. When it was canceled, they were like, you could go back to directing on Daria. And I was like, well, I think I hit the ceiling of, like, what I could do career-wise in New York, so I'm going to move out to L.A., where, you know, Hollywood, where the cartoon industry really is. And at that point, when I moved out to L.A., I started this T-shirt company called Titmouse, where I'd sell T-shirts on the internet. But what happened was, since I was used to New York, where there was less work, I was used to taking a lot of freelance, so I took too much freelance in L.A. Like, I was working a day job. I think I was working on this show at the time called Megas XLR. It was about a robot with a car for a head, and I was the, like, showrunner on that show. But I was directing commercials, like, before and after work, and it got to be too much. And my wife Shannon, who co-founded the studio with me, she was like, hey, why don't you I'll just produce these commercials for you, because she was producing commercials for other people. So she's like, I'll do that for you. We hired, like, a couple people just to get us over this hump, and then I could go back to, you know, not having a stressful life. But then it never stopped, right? We just kept getting work and kept getting work, until she was like, you gotta quit your job at Cartoon Network and focus on this full time. And I was like, I can't do that. Like, that's how we make money, that's how we live, that's my job. And she was like, if you quit that job and focus on this, this will be your job and this will be how you make money. And I was like, all right. We didn't have any kids or a house yet, so I was like, I'll fuck it. Like, we could always live in a van if we need to, like this, you can see. And, so we did it, and
you
then
can
it worked
beer
out.
And ice cream in
so
there.
We probably had like 7 people working for us when I did that, and now we've got 750 employees, and we're in like 3 cities and 2 countries. It's bananas.
That's awesome.
You know, it's crazy.
Oh. It's cool to see guys from, like, humble beginnings that have the same interests.
Yeah.
And
that's what
have
I tell
success,
people. I'm just,
you know,
like, this kind of thing. I mean, I was doing this before I was in the industry. It's like everybody starts, and it's like, I'm the same. I'm a fucking weird animation nerd or weird comic nerd, a nerd of Dungeons and Dragons. Many, many types
many
of nerds.
Nerds. Yeah.
And it's like, that's what the people are that make this shit, you know?
That's awesome. And it shows, like, you know, the fandoms. You know, for Venture Brothers, for Metalocalypse, for Big Mouth, all that stuff is popular because the people that
you
are making
see,
it know.
You should see this guy's fandom.
Oh,
it's
no.
Bananas.
What? There's like three guys. I got three fans.
If you're not familiar with it, if you know D&D, man, you'll be super into this shit.
Critters. You got to do hashtag Critters and just see what that is. That's what the fans are called of Critical Role, his streaming.
So the Critical Role show came to Denver Comic Con, where we're from this year.
Yeah. That's right.
And your lines for signing were, like, longer than most everybody else.
So
like,
you know his fans are bananas.
Yeah, they're bananas.
It's because I'm extremely handsome.
Yeah. Well, yeah, duh.
No, it's the Critters, our fans are amazing. They're like a really great community of people, and they're supportive and inclusive and tolerant, and it's awesome to be making a show for them that they're gonna like. And hopefully, like you always keep reminding us, we're trying to welcome in new fans. You don't have to be a D&D fan to like this show. You don't have to be a fantasy nerd, really. You just have to like, you know, adventure, which I think most people do.
Three
circles. Yeah, there's like, man, I'm trying to see if I can describe this. I would draw it on a whiteboard. It's like, there's two
beers.
There's two bad versions of the show that we could make. One is we make it only for the Critters and nobody else, because we already got them. And we want to include them, of course, because they're very important and they're why this thing is even being made. But you don't want to make it only an inside joke, only for the fans. The other thing you could do wrong is make it only for new people and exclude the fans, because that's not fair and that's not good. What we need to do is make it a broader circle that includes all the Critters and all the stuff they want to see, but also stuff that new people who don't know the existing stream, what they want to see.
Yeah.
That was almost the sentence.
And hopefully at the end of all this, we'll create a whole bunch of new fantasy fans, a whole bunch of new D&D players, and get everybody into it.
It's the whole fucking Venn diagram thing.
Totally.
And you're already well into your second campaign, so who knows, maybe one day that'll be a cartoon too.
Yeah, for sure.
So I know, like, at least four or five people that listen to Critical Role that have zero interest in Dungeons & Dragons.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they just listen to the show
because
it's entertaining. Like, whereas I listen to the show because I'm like, well, that's not how that goes.
That's my favorite thing. Like, my dream for this cartoon series is to meet somebody somewhere at some convention someday and then be like, oh, I really love your cartoon. And then I'll say, like, oh, did you ever, you know, do you play D&D? And they're like, no, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with it? And I'm like, oh, it's based on a D&D show that we had on the streaming show. I want someone to be like, I've never seen that. I've never heard of that. All I know is the cartoon, and I love it.
Right? Yeah. Where people are like, I love Game of Thrones. And they're like, you read the book? What a book? What's a book?
That's what I want.
So I gotta know, like, as you know, as a cast member on Critical Role and as an animator, do you guys have a soft spot in your heart for the old Dungeons and Dragons cartoon?
Oh yeah, sure. That man, that car commercial. What country was that?
Oh, I think it was a Brazilian car commercial. Man. It's really awesome.
I was like, man, why can't they make a movie as good as that commercial?
I saw and thought it was a trailer from a movie and had the biggest boner, and then it was a car commercial. I was like, man, suck this.
And then
I
bought that car.
it crossed my mind, but I'm poor. Oh, man. So, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much longer our tour goes around. I don't want to take a ton of your time.
It goes forever. Yeah, whatever. Find a beer in here.
Oh, well, let's do that.
I didn't give you beer yet. Shit, man. Here.
I don't know how this works.
Push. It's a crazy thing.
It's like the one in the one we're staying in. So we try, like, I'm right on the cusp of how long we usually go. So what I'll probably do is just say.
Is your neck real hot?
My
neck. Hot neck?
Usually.
I got these neck coolers. You dip it in water and it keeps your neck real cold, man. You want a neck cooler?
Yeah,
You want a neck
cooler? I want a neck cooler. Yeah. He wants a neck cooler. He's always bitching about being hot.
So you can wear it.
Look, check it out. You could wear it if you want. You could wear it like a do-rag, right? Like this.
Oh,
right?
Cool.
Or you could wear it like a little turtleneck. And that's the way it actually keeps your neck cold.
Or you could wear it like a balaclava.
Yeah. Or you could do this. Yeah. You can you know, throw Molotov cocktails at people. Yeah. But it works real well. If you put water on it, man, it stays cold for a real long time. To the point where I was like, my neck is too cold wearing this. It got too cold.
Oh, man. Well, so I guess I'm going to wrap it up, like, because... I mean, this has been awesome.
Right.
So, Chris P., how can people find your shit, man?
Oh, man. Well, I guess You can, the Titmouse, if you just look at Twitter, Twitter's probably the best for just finding out information. Titmouse is at Titmouse Inc. Like, not ink, like you draw ink, like incorporated. Titmouse Inc. And for me, it's at Chris Prynoski, which it's Chris and Prynoski. And that's probably good enough.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll also be sure to check out the upcoming Critical Role cartoon. How can we find you?
All news for Critical Role, you just go to critroll.com or check us out on Twitter at Critical Role.
That's awesome, man. And thank you guys so much for being on our show. I really appreciate your time. This is, dude, I need to buy an RV and just live my life like this. Sure. Awesome. Right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.